Joined again by Jay Money, and now we just talked about his project Love Drop. It's very interesting. I don't think I gave anyone the website. It's lovedrop.us. Is that correct?
Yep, you got it.
Okay, so if anyone wants to go there, they can check out. You're helping the Kellen family this month, it looks like, and you know, you can find out about giving and what else you can do to help them out with their new project here. It's very, very interesting, very noble thing to do, and I wish you the best of luck with it. So. Good luck. Now, budgets are sexy. This is your personal finance blog. Right. Just explain to us kind of how it started.
Basically started of me making a big mistake and buying a house when I shouldn't. a few years back, you know, I kind of bought it off a whim. I was looking for a one-bedroom condo, got lost, and ended up buying a house about 4 days later. And when I did that, I realized that I didn't have a budget. I knew I was financially okay, I wasn't in debt, but I didn't know really what I was doing, so I started Googling, you know, mortgage and, you know, budgeting, and I kept coming across all these different blogs. Well, at first I didn't know they were blogs, I just saw these sites, and I kept realizing that people were giving their personal side to it, and I connected to them, and I was like, this is so cool, people are just telling their story, it's not like a professional site, it's just an everyday person saying, this is what I'm doing, this is what helps me, this is what doesn't. And, you know, readers would leave comments and interact and discuss different topics. So I was like, oh, I could do that. I have, you know, a good story now. I'm an idiot. I bought a house and, you know, here's my story kind of deal. I, you know, just did it on the side. It was fun. And I started getting some people reading and commenting. And I pretty much got addicted after that. And, you know, there's this whole network of people online. I think you've interviewed a whole bunch of them.
Yeah,
sure. That we're friends and we talk every day and we blog and we talk with our readers and it's a cool thing, and that's what eventually led me to actually, you know, go full time doing this after I left my job to do this and to Love Drop. So
okay, and then now, your website's pretty transparent. You talk about all your finances on there.
Right.
You're tracking yourself. Now, what is the purpose there? What are you showing people? And what's your goal? What's your ultimate goal?
So I thought it was cool. The very first thing that I saw was when a couple of people, not everyone does it, but the people that are anonymous, which I am too, wanted to show people, here's exactly, you know, what is in my bank account. Here's what's on my credit card. Here's my debt. Here's my investments. And I always thought it was just cool that someone would show that out there. Just, you know, the cool factor, one, I thought was awesome. And then I realized that as I started to read those blogs every month and they kept doing it, that you can learn, like, if their strategies are working or if they're actually, you know, doing what they're telling other people to do.
Sure.
You know, and they would. And the people that I respected, I would see every month that number going up and up and up. And sometimes it would fail. And sometimes they'd say, oh, you know, I did something stupid. And, you know, here's what it is. And now you can see it reflected in my net worth. So for me, you know, as far as the blog, I just wanted to do that same thing for other readers to say, hey, you know, you don't have to keep everything hidden. It's not taboo all the way. You know, we're online and you can see all that stuff. And then for me personally, you know, it helps me track my success and it helps me to stay on it, especially with a blog, knowing that if I do something, you know, I'm going to be, you know, 100% honest and say what I did on the blog.
Yeah.
And so I'll get that feedback, good or negative. So that helps you make decisions a little bit better too.
Sure.
But no, it's good. And, you know, I think tracking your money, for me at least, was the biggest thing that has helped me. One of the top three things. And ever since I did that, now I can see every month, I think I'm doing good, I think I'm doing bad, but I can actually see the numbers and prove what, you know, what that case is.
All right. So can you kind of take us through, I mean, so you know, you bought a house, you know, you're nervous about the situation, looking to budget. What are the first steps you took for people that are out there, you know, in the same situation or having trouble financially and looking just to start out? What can you tell them?
The first thing, there's actually a couple things that worked for me. The first was just sitting down one day with literally a piece of paper and pen and going through my bank accounts and just writing down what was in there, going through my credit cards, finding out what the debt was, and putting that down on paper and seeing it. You know, it's kind of annoying at first. It might take half an hour, an hour. It's not the, you know, most fun thing in the world for most people. But once you see that number, it really, at least for me, like, got me to pay attention more. And every time I would go and spend something or buy something or invest or whatever it was that I was doing, I knew it would reflect that number when I sat down in a couple more weeks and redid them. And so for me, like, I need to know, you know, where my money is. I think that's the number one thing. I thought, you know, that I, you know, I didn't have much debt and I didn't, but I thought that I was in a lot better spot when we bought our house than I was.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until I ran those numbers that I realized that I was actually going, you know, downhill slowly. Not horrible, but if I kept doing what I was doing, I would just keep losing a couple hundred dollars every month. Yep. I didn't know that. I thought I was doing fine, or at least going up a little bit.
Yeah.
That's like the first thing, you know, for me, and that's what a lot of people say, and it's because it's the truth, you know.
Sure.
Second, what I did, I'm Catholic, and for Lent, I gave up shopping one day because I used to go, if I was bored, I'd go shopping, or if I just, you know, didn't know what to do, I'd go to Best Buy and find some CDs, or, you know, go to TJ Maxx and buy some clothes or whatever. And I realized that when I stopped doing that, just for 40 days, I didn't go into a store for 40 days. I just paid bills and whatever. And I saved like $600. And that was another thing that I had no idea that I was doing.
Yeah.
And so even now, that was 3 years ago when I first, you know, tried it for 40 days. And I mean, now I'll go into a store maybe once a month, you know, if I have to, or if you know, I need to go get something. But that helped me save about $500-$600 a month.
Yeah, that's what I find. You know, a lot of people just find those, you know, that one thing that's kind of their crutch. What they do, what they spend their money on, that one weakness,
right.
And it's a big difference. So just, you know, like you said, everyone kind of says just looking at your finances and seeing that, it's just always an eye opener. People don't expect it, and they, you know, they're able to make some dramatic changes to change their financial situation. So
right, and you know, another thing too for me, and I've learned this from another blogger, Ramit from I Will Teach You to Be Rich. He wrote a book and has this popular website. And what he said what really struck me was, you know, it's okay to spend money on like a fancy bike or something that other people would look at you and be like, what the heck? Like, why did you spend $1,000 on that, you know, pair of shoes, for example, right?
Yeah.
Like he says it's okay to spend money on stuff that's important, but just prioritize. Don't spend thousands of dollars in every single department, you know, of your life.
Sure.
Pick the ones that are important, spend the money there. But then, you know, the trick of it and the hardest part for people is to cut out the rest. So he gave an example of a person that wanted, you know, a really big, you know, bicycle, like a, it wasn't a moped. I think it was like a mountain bike or something.
Okay.
And people always gave him crap for spending thousands of dollars on this. But, you know, he lived in like a one bedroom apartment and he was renting or something like that. So he, instead of, you know, he didn't care about where he lived or how much room his house was. He cared about mountain biking.
Sure.
So that's where he decided to spend his money. And I think that, you know, for me, that really sunk in too. So I don't feel bad when I am spending money that other people normally would look down on me or make fun of me or whatever, because I know in other areas, you know, I'm not spending anything.
Sure. Yeah. No, that's good. Now, I want to talk to you about, now, you got fired a couple of years ago now, right? How long ago was
actually,
that?
Right before Christmas.
Right. Oh, it was only a few months ago.
Right,
okay.
Right, yeah.
So
my biggest popular post that I ever did.
Yeah. And, you know, I've been a fan of your website. I've been reading it and everything. And this post really, you know, got me thinking and, you know, really, you know, kind of touched me that this is, that so many people deal with this, but you were able to put yourself in a position where it didn't, you know, wasn't detrimental to you. So I kind of wanted to go through those steps, what kind of this backstory, what happened, and then how you kind of set yourself up to really not be burdened by it like other people might if they were just, you know, walked into work and found out they didn't have a job anymore.
Yeah, and for me, I think there's a couple of things, too, that's important. Is, you know, I work for a startup company, and anyone that's worked in a startup knows is nothing's 100%. You know, there's some months your company, I mean, our company was making $1 million, $2 million a month. I mean, it was sick. And then other months, you know, especially when the economy hit, we wouldn't be making money. So it's very flex, you know, it fluctuates a lot. There's no stability. On the other hand, you know, there's only five or six of us. It was fun. We dress up however, and we go and we do our job well. And as long as we do our job, it's fine. So for me, I realized after about 3 years at the startup that things were kind of shaky. And also, I didn't know at the time exactly what I wanted to do. When I started blogging, it, you know, it started to take off a little bit, and it was fun. And I'm like, oh, people, you know, pay me a little advertise, and I can make a little money. That's great. And I started asking myself, when this ends, whether it's tomorrow or in a year or 2 years, like, what is my next step? And I used to never do that. I'd get laid off, or I would just quit and go look for another job, and I never really paid attention ahead of time.
Yeah.
And so this time I said, well, in a perfect world, I'd blog or I'd work on, you know, projects that are important to me. So once I realized that, I started just saving money. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you should have a goal to save money for. And my goal was my, you know, getting fired or my quitting, you know, pot of gold that's going to save me, in, you know, until that day comes. So I started saving, and my goal is to hit about $50,000 as a reserve. So that way when I left, I would have money to keep me. And, I wouldn't use that to spend everyday things, but it was
sure.
Like an emergency fund for my new business.
Okay.
And the funny part about – being laid off is, you know, even though I knew it could happen at any time, I was actually really surprised when it did. And it was the day before I'd been, you know, I'd been thinking, okay, I'm going to maybe stop my job the first of the year and I'm going to go on my own. But that's scary.
Yeah.
You know, and I looking back, I want to say I was going to do that anyways, but I was still a little iffy, and my plan was to go on that Friday to give my 2 weeks and see what happens.
Yeah.
And they called me in on a Thursday and sat me down, and I was like, what is going on? You know, it's still shocking.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said, oh, you know, economy, whatever, the situation, and he had to lay me off. And I was shocked, but I was also extremely relieved because I knew that I was on the right path.
That's,
you know,
good.
People always say, well, when you get fired, or you get laid off, like, there's always something better out for you. And, you know, at the time, you don't believe them and you hate them for saying it or whatever. But looking back, it usually is the case, at least for me. And so I had the money saved up. I knew what the plan was, you know, at least 7 or 8 months out when the day came. So, you know, that day I literally, you know, moved into an office of my friend's, you know, just a couple $100 a month to hang out, have a desk so I can have an office. And I just started, like, within an hour of getting laid off.
Great.
So, you know, it was pretty interesting. In that post I wrote, there's a lot of stuff that happened after that. I mean, once I got laid off, and it's crazy, there's only a few of us there, and they laid the people off that had the institutional knowledge. So when we left, we didn't understand how the company can keep running.
Yeah.
And within 3 hours of me getting laid off, that guy called me back and said, hey, we need your help. And I was like, you just laid me off. You know, this is so strange. And, you know, I said, that's fine. You know, give me my last paycheck and I'll gladly help.
Yeah.
And, you know, long story short, there are no money and they still owe us, and we're starting to go into some legal battle because they still haven't paid us for about 4 months ago. So
okay.
Big mess, but at the time, very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just great. You know, you hear so many people that have these problems. But, you know, preparing, you know, just that reserve savings, even if you don't know what you're going to do or go to it, at least having that reserves at least buys you that time to try to find another job. So you're ahead of the curve there.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, I'm sure, you know, people heard about and talk about all the time, but you do get stuck in, you know, if you're not growing in your company or in your career, you know, you get stuck and you start feeling like I'm just going to do, you know, an average thing, and you're just kind of steadily humming along, you know. But during these big events when you get laid off or you quit to do something special, I mean, it's really – it's empowering, and this time more than ever, I realized that even no matter how good I was at that company, you know, no matter what I did, how many hours I put in, any single day they could still let me go. I had no control or power over me staying there or not.
Sure.
And I said, you know what? I need something that I can put my heart in, my blogging, Love Drop, stuff that I care about that I can't get laid off because I'm the one running the show.
Yeah.
And it's hard and it's scary, and I, you know, stay up to 5 in the morning, and sometimes I sleep in till 2 in the afternoon, and, you know, it's weird and crazy.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm not going to fire myself. If I'm not happy doing what I'm doing, I'll start working on something else.
Yeah. No, great advice.
And money allows you the freedom, which is good. You know, I originally started posting about wanting to be a millionaire, and I thought it would be cool to have $1 million, and, you know, I still do, but now it's more about the freedom that the money gives me rather than the actual cool factor.
Sure. Okay. So, now, speaking of that millionaire, now you have a $1 million club. Can you explain this to us and how people can kind of take part in that?
That's a good lead in. So I said, you know, hey, how long would it take me to get $1 million based on my investing? And, you know, I would max out my 401k and get matching and, you know, bonuses. And I was like, if I just put all that in a savings account or money market or whatever, decided, how long would it take? And there's some calculator on CNN that I saw, and I think it took me, I think I was going to say like 27 years or 30 years, I'd literally have $1 million of whether it's investments or savings.
Okay.
So I put it out there and I said, this is what I'm going to do in order to reach the $1 million status. And I just called it, you know, the $1 million club or whatever, and thought it was funny. And people started joining over time. And I think there's, I don't know, 80 or 90 people on there now. And all of them say, hey, this is what I would need to do in order to reach $1 million. You know, and some people stick with it, some people don't. I mean, it's only been a couple of years, too. And, you know, God willing, if the blog and the internet's still around in 30 years, it'll be cool to see who made it and who didn't.
Yeah.
But that was the whole thing, that if you write it down and you actually say, okay, I need to save, you know, $600 a month or $300 a month, eventually I will have $1 million, and it's just gradual over time. And so that's, you know, how it started, and that's one of the more popular pages on the site, and it's fun. And, you know, some people say, oh, you're not going to need $1 million in 30 years, you're going to need $5 million or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's still $1 million.
Yeah, starting somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Jay, I appreciate you joining us. Is there anything you want to leave us with? I mean, tons of great resources on here and information on budgets and how to kind of get ahead financially and all those things. Anything you can leave us with or any advice you have for the listeners?
I think really it's just find out what it is that makes you happy. Find out what, makes you tick and come up with a plan on how to do that. And a lot of times it does involve money, but other times it doesn't. If you can basically wake up and be happy about what you're going to do, that day, I think that's important. And once you find out what that is, then start figuring out how you're going to do it. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. It could just be writing on a piece of paper, write out some goals, but then physically do something about it. And I think that's, for me is the biggest thing. I used to think about it and dream about it and just tell my friends about it and my family about it, but I never did anything about it. And sometimes you fail, but if you just try and work on it and just do something once a day, maybe just one little task that would get you closer, I think is important. So that's the only advice that I like to leave is to take action and try to make yourself happier, basically.
All right. Well, Jay, thank you very much. You can visit him, budgetsaresexy.com, and also at lovedrop.us, and take part in what they're doing there. Start as a little as a dollar and work your way up from there, whatever you like to do. So, Jay, thank you very much, and I hope to have you on the program again talk about all your success with your new project.
Most definitely. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
And this is W.